Right now, I want to talk about actors and actresses who are consistently great and are iconic. And when you see their names on the credits of movies, you immediately go, oh, okay, good. So at least there's going to be one really good thing in this movie. The reason why I brought this up is because there's this piece about the evolution of Denzel Washington. He's got 3 Oscars. He's got 3 Golden Globes. He's got a Tony and a lifetime of memorable performances. And this is sort of a timeline on Denzel Washington has achieved over the years and how his career has gone and how consistently great he is, because he's great in everything. After getting started in Maryland and an off-Broadway theater, Washington got his first major role in an 80s hit medical TV show, Saint Elsewhere, as Dr. Philip Chandler. Dan, did you watch Saint Elsewhere ever?
Nah, that was a bit out of my age range.
Yeah. I watched it a little bit. I never was like a regular viewer of it. But I did see several episodes of it, and I do remember that it ended in a very weird way, right? Where it was like all a fantasy of this.
Yeah, like one of the doctors had an autistic son, and he
in a snow globe.
In a snow globe.
Yeah, that's how Craig Ferguson ended his show. He didn't end at the end. So I remember the first time I remember seeing Denzel, and it was his first movie. And I remember this; I was in high school. This may have been before he got St. Elsewhere, or right around like at the beginning of St. Elsewhere. But his first movie, and I remember him in it, I had never heard of him before, was a movie called Carbon Copy. And it starred George Segal, who is now on the Goldbergs, but who, like, in the 70s, mid-late 70s into the early 80s, was just like a very popular leading man. Did all kinds of stuff, comedies and dramas and all kinds of stuff. He was cast in everything, especially in the mid-late 70s. So this is the plot of the movie, and this is why it's called Carbon Copy. Denzel Washington shows up in George Segal's life and claims that he's his son. George Segal is white. Denzel is not. Hence why it's called Carbon Copy. And that pretty much right there is the level of intelligence that you get from this movie. Dan, can you look up Carbon Copy? I want to say it came out in 81, but it was his first movie. And I remember seeing Denzel on one of the talk shows. I want to say it was Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel does this thing. I think it's Kimmel who does this. Yeah, it's Kimmel. He does this thing where he reads a line from a movie, and then the person that he's talking to, the actor or actress that he's talking to, has to say, the bit is called, "Did I say that?" So he reads a line from a movie, and then the person, the actor or actress, has to say, he asks the question, "Did I say that?" And then they have to say whether they did say that in a movie or not. And it's funny because the best is when they forget. They go, "No, I didn't say that." And then they play the clip where the actor or actress actually did say it. And it's a really funny bit. But he did a line from Carbon Copy. Jimmy Kimmel read a line from Carbon Copy. And Denzel immediately went, "That's the first line I've ever said in a movie. Of course, it's my first movie. Of course I remembered that. Yes, I said it." And then they show the clip from Carbon Copy.
Yes, 1981.
1981. Who directed it, does it say?
Michael Schultz.
Oh, Michael Schultz. Michael Schultz.
To give you an indication, Denzel's listed 5th in the billing. George Segal 1st, Susan St. James 2nd, Jack Warden 3rd, Dick Martin 4th, and then Denzel.
Dick Martin. Michael Schultz is a journeyman African-American director. He directed Car Wash. He directed a bunch of stuff in the 70s, Michael Schultz. He was kind of the go-to. If you weren't making a blaxploitation movie, your crime movies or your blaxploitation films, he was your sort of go-to African-American director who did, non-blaxploitation movies, like commercial films. So, all right. In 1987, Denzel Washington received his first Academy Award nomination for playing South African activist Stephen Biko in Cry Freedom. 2 years later, Washington won Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars for his work in Glory. He's great in that movie. He just so deserved the Oscar in that movie. He's phenomenal in Glory. In 1990, Washington worked with Spike Lee to make the film Mo' Better Blues. Washington plays Bleak Gilliam, a jazz trumpeter whose life spirals out of control, and he makes one bad decision after another. That's a really underrated movie. If you've not seen this movie, I mean, Spike Lee has made a lot of movies. Spike Lee has made a ton of movies. Mo' Better Blues is one of the ones that kind of is under the radar, and I think is underrated, and not as many people have seen Mo' Better Blues as they should have. It was his follow up to Do the Right Thing. 2 years later, Washington reunited with Lee to make what is considered one of the defining works of both men's careers, Malcolm X. Washington got his third Oscar nomination for his legendary performance as the legendary activist. That was in 92. Who won Best Actor in 92? Who won the Best Actor Oscar in 92? Because Denzel's amazing in Malcolm X. I'm trying to remember. 1991 was Anthony Hopkins.
Do you want the winner? Do you want me to give
No, go ahead.
Al Pacino.
Oh, God. That's right. Al Pacino is the screaming blind guy in Scent of a Woman. That was one of those career performance, you know, Oscar performances. You know what I mean? One of those career Oscars. Wasn't really for that movie. In 1993, Washington starred alongside Tom Hanks in Philadelphia as Joe Miller, a personal injury lawyer hired by a gay man with AIDS to represent him in a wrongful termination lawsuit. 1995, Washington began taking more high-octane roles, namely the lead in Crimson Tide along Gene Hackman. That's the movie that one of my friends refers to as, what's the name of that movie with Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman where they just keep punching each other? Because it's like, just all they do is play. What's the name of that movie with Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington where they just keep punching each other in the face? You mean Crimson Tide? Yeah, that's it. That's that movie where they keep punching each other in the face. Like, the whole movie is 2 hours of Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington punching each other in the face. They do punch each other in the face a few times in the movie. But I would describe it as a submarine movie, not a movie where the two leads punch each other in the face. One of Washington's most polarizing films was the 1999 biopic The Hurricane. He plays Reuben Carter, a boxer who was convicted of triple murder and spent 20 years in prison before he was exonerated. The film earned Washington a Golden Globe but received criticism for taking liberties with the fact. In 2000, Washington introduced himself to a new generation of moviegoers with the Disney film Remember the Titans as a coach of a desegregated high school football team. The following year, Washington became the first African-American actor since Sidney Poitier to win a lead actor Oscar. He played against type as the corrupt top cop Alonzo Harris in Training Day. You know, it's funny. People don't, you know, realize that, like... Like, he was sort of, he always played sort of like these heroes, Denzel Washington and leading men, and this, you know, this Remember the Titans movie he just did. And then, like, in the fall, he comes out with Training Day, which is, you know, like one of the most evil characters that you could possibly play. And now it's the movie that everybody, you know, whenever you do an imitation of Denzel Washington, you do an imitation of Alonzo Harris. That's essentially what you're doing. He's so good in that movie. I mean, he is just ridiculous. Esmeralda, you've seen Training Day, right?
I couldn't get through it because I didn't like his character.
Oh, because you hated him so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie. He's so good in it. Dan, you've seen Training Day, right?
Sure.
He's unbelievable in that movie.
Yeah, that King Kong speech.
Yeah. He's the man. 2002, he made his directorial debut with Antoine Fisher. In the mid-2000s, Washington built on his Crimson Tide reputation and starred in a series of successful thrillers, among them a remake of The Manchurian Candidate. In 2007, Washington played against type again as an infamous Harlem drug kingpin, Frank Lucas, in American Gangster. 2012, Washington earned his fourth Best Actor nomination and sixth nomination overall for his work in Flight. This might be... This one might be my favorite Denzel Washington performance of all time in Flight. In this Robert Zemeckis film, he played an airline pilot who saves nearly everyone on board when he makes an emergency crash landing. Still, six people die in the crash. And the pilot's new popularity is short-lived when it's discovered that he was flying while intoxicated. They kind of leave out the detail that he inverted the plane. That's kind of a big, it's kind of a big deal. So, fresh off receiving the Cecil B. DeMille Award at the Golden Globes, Washington reunited with Training Day director Antoine Fuqua to star in a new rendition of one of the greatest westerns of all time, The Magnificent Seven. Washington played Sam Chisholm, a bounty hunter who rounds up a new seven to protect the town from a vicious robber baron. He earned two more Oscar nominations, starring in and producing a screen adaptation of August Wilson's play Fences, the tale of a former Negro League pitcher who struggles to deal with his new life as a garbage man. Washington played the lead role on Broadway in 2010 in a revival, and he won a Tony Award for it. And then just now, Washington plays crusading attorney in writer-director Dan Gilroy's 2017 legal drama, Roman J. Israel, Esquire. Got himself a Golden Globe nomination for that as well. So that's just a look at, you know, the evolution of Denzel Washington, who I would put on the list of actors who are great and are pretty much great in everything. And we've got some texts coming in. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200. We're talking about actors who are always good, actresses who are always good. Even if the movie's not, they are. And consistent and amazing actors. 312-981-7200. Yeah. We're just a few hours away from Tuesday afternoon. See how that works, Dan? Two for Tuesday. Yeah. 224 area code, Moody Blues. Tuesday afternoon. 312-981-7200. Talk, text, two for Tuesday requests. And, yeah. So we're talking about actors. We just looked at some of the stuff that Denzel Washington has done over the years and widely considered one of the best actors on the planet and one of the most iconic and one of the most consistent. Whenever you see Denzel's name on a movie, you know he's going to be good in it. And he's given some remarkable performances. And that got us to talking about some of them. So who else falls into that category? What other actors and actresses fall into that category? Where immediately you hear their name, you go, it's going to be good. They're great. They're consistent. 312-981-7200. Dan, do you have anybody that popped into your head?
For actresses, Catherine Keener.
She's good.
She's
man.
So great, and yeah. Usually in everything.
And she was great in Get Out.
Yeah, she was.
Great.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Actors, just Bradley Cooper is a guy like I appreciate more and more every movie I see him in. I was a big fan of the show Limitless, the TV show Limitless, which was based upon the movie.
Right.
He didn't big time it. He came back. He played a role on the TV show. He was part of it. He did it because it was his first movie, and he wanted to pay back the guys who made a vote and confidence in him. There was the very underrated and very excellent A-Team.
A-Team was a great movie. That came out of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And nobody saw it, but it was a really good movie. We often talk about how actors today, when they do a voice of a cartoon or a CGI character,
yeah.
like they just play themselves. There's no attempt to make it an acting performance. Yeah. People don't know he's the voice of Rocket Raccoon
right.
in Guardians of the Galaxy because he does, you know, he adds that grizzle and it's like not just him. He's actually doing a vocal performance, which I appreciate. And then because Showtime shows Burnt every 3 hours, I've watched that movie like 800 times. So it's just like every movie I see him in, like even if the movie's bad, he's usually
it took me a little while to warm up to him because of the Hangover movies.
Right.
But when he started working with David O. Russell, that was when, you know, I was like, oh, because I mean, American Hustle, he's unbelievable in American Hustle. He's so great in that. And he's great in Silver Linings Playbooks, too. So the stuff that he does with David O. Russell is really good. And then all the other stuff that he's done after that, now I'm a fan. he did the best acting he could with a fake baby.
That's right.
He was responsible for making that baby look like it was alive. For those of you who don't know, there's a scene in American Sniper, a Clint Eastwood movie that Bradley Cooper is in, where they used, for some reason, they used a fake baby. Like, and Clint didn't care. Clint's like, just shoot the damn thing. I want to golf.
The real baby was being fussy.
Oh.
And was crying, so they couldn't get,
so they couldn't,
they
so
didn't get the vocals over it.
So they bring in, like, a doll, and Bradley Cooper's got to hold it and, like, move it around. If you watch the scene, it's ridiculous. Esmeralda, have you ever seen the footage of him with, like, the fake baby?
I think I've seen it, and it's just weird because it does look like a fake baby.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. But Clint doesn't care. Clint Eastwood likes to shoot movies in 15 minutes. You know?
He's probably thinking, I'm like, you know what babies are.
Baby, it's just a baby. Don't worry about it. I want to shoot 18. I got to get out on the links. Just say your line and stand where you're supposed to stand. It's Clint. man. Hey, have you heard about his new movie? I told you about it, Dan.
Yeah.
Esmeralda, have you heard about Clint Eastwood's new movie?
No.
It's called The 1517 to Paris. You remember a few years ago, there was a terrorist attack on a train to Paris?
Mm-hmm.
And three guys stopped it?
Yeah.
Okay. He made a movie out of that. Get this. He cast the real guys, like the real soldiers.
All right.
To play the part.
Are they going to?
I mean, no, not like in flashbacks, it'll be different actors because it goes back.
Right.
But the incident itself, like where they recreate the incident, the real dudes are in it. So here's the thing. Maybe they're not great actors, but it'll be authentic. They were there. So, like, if something's wrong, they're going to go, hey, Clint, no, that's not how it went down.
Yeah, but, you know, having to recreate emotions.
Yeah.
I'm a little.
Yeah. I don't know
how that's going to work.
Well, also, I mean, it could be traumatizing for these guys. You know what I mean? Like, it was a scary, scary thing. I think it's fascinating. I don't know whether it's going to work. You know, I think it's a fascinating approach doing it that way. And I really do think that it will absolutely add to it feeling authentic because, well, these are the guys that were there and they would know. Now, whether or not these guys can act, and Clint probably like, yeah, you're fine, whatever. That was a great take. I have to go golf.
And then I'm curious, you know, how often are they going to fight on certain things? Like, that's not how that happened. We didn't do it this way, but they're like, well, we got to keep a story going.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I find that it comes out next month, if I'm not mistaken. It comes out soon. They played commercials for it during the Globes, so I think it actually comes out in February. So, all right. Here's Chris from Midway on WGN. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
All right.
One of the movies that I think is really good with Denzel is Man on Fire.
Yeah.
With Dakota Fanning and Mark Anthony.
Yeah. One of the many collaborations he did with Tony Scott. He did a lot of movies with Tony Scott.
Yeah, he showed a lot of depth and emotion in that. That's where it kind of turned my taste for him. I always thought he was like a B actor, and then I seen that, and I was like, wow, he can really bring it.
Oh, he's a great actor. He's great. Man on Fire. They didn't include that in that little story that I read. All right, Chris, thanks, buddy.
Great. All right, have a great one.
Hey, what about the him and Chris Pine on the train? The hell was the name of that?
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. That movie kicked ass. That was a great movie, man.
He gets so mad at Chris Pine.
Yeah. Chris Pine's good in that. That was a great movie. That was that Tony Scott's last film?
Well, you look that up, I will let you know that.
Because it was...
His cousin was the location set...
Who?
Eileen's cousin. My wife's
cousin. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
She had to find all the people that...
She worked on the movie?
Yeah, she worked on the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
That
was the last directorial. Mm. He was a producer on things that came out later, but that was the last director.
Okay. He also was in a remake of... excuse me, man. Of Taking of Pelham, which was terrible. Also directed by Tony Scott. All right, we got a break. Everybody hang on. We're talking about great actors and actresses, and we'll come back and talk more right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. And that is Linda Ronstadt with Heatwave, and Nick requested that as part of Two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. We are talking about great actors and actresses who are consistently good, who are iconic, who when you see their name on the credits, you get excited and you're very happy. And it all started when we were just talking about Denzel, and we've got a bunch of people who are calling in, and we got texts coming in at 312-981-7200. Esmeralda, is there anybody that pops into your head? Well, I mean, Edward Norton, obviously.
Right. Well, he's a little... Sometimes I'm like, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But Tom Hanks. I mean, I'm sure he's done some stinkers, but for the most part, I'm like, oh, I'm sure that movie will be enjoyable.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he really is, you know, consistently likable, even if he's in a bad movie. And he's done some bad movies. He has been in some bad movies. Now, he's not immune to starring in bad movies. But I mean, normally he's terrific in The Post. He's absolutely terrific. And he and Meryl Streep are just outstanding. And I can't believe that's the first movie that they ever did together. Isn't that hard to believe that that's the first time they've ever worked together?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. Man. So, all right. Steve sent in a text and he said, the two actors that I absolutely love to watch, Michael Shannon and Joel Edgerton. I'm sure I haven't seen all their movies, but the ones I have seen are terrific. And get them two together in one movie. Wow. I wonder if they've ever done a movie. I don't think they have. Well, Chicago's own Michael Shannon. Outstanding actor. Jay in Ohio says, Gene Hackman, any movie he's in is a good movie. Well, he's good. Not any movie he's in is good. Because he's made some stinkers, too. I actually know someone who doesn't like Gene Hackman. I don't even know. I can't even comprehend not liking Gene Hackman. Like, how do you not think Gene Hackman's a great actor? Like, He's been great, and he's been great for so long and so consistently. But I have a friend who doesn't like him.
I don't think of him. I just he's there.
He's Hackman.
And you go Gene Hackman. I go yes. That will be sure. It will be a good movie.
Yeah, because he's Hackman. He's the man. And he punches Denzel repeatedly in Crimson Tide. They punch each other just repeatedly for 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Does he do comedies? Has he done a comedy?
Hackman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's done comedies, but I mean, like, one of his most legendary appearances in film history is in Young Frankenstein.
Oh, right.
He plays the blind guy in Young Frankenstein.
Because the only roles I'm thinking are he's always yelling at people.
Yeah, he does yell a lot. Gene Hackman is one of those guys.
He's, like, always grumpy.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's been in comedies. I mean, obviously, the only one that I can't think of any except for Young Frankenstein. That's the only one, but he's been in comedies. Oh, he was in a terrible comedy called Loose Cannons from like 1990. I believe Dan Aykroyd was in it. Horrible movie. A really horrible movie. All right, let's see. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. Hey, how you doing?
All right.
You know, I don't know if Get Shorty was a comedy, but Gene Hackman's in that.
Yeah.
The scene with him and Dennis Farina's awesome.
Yeah, no. That's the Gene. Get Shorty's definitely a comedy. There's no question about it. Hackman's great in it too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. I got a couple here, but of course you're talking about Denzel, and the most iconic line from Man on Fire is "I wish you had more time," and that brings me to why I love him when he plays a badass. Whenever he's badass Denzel. You have that one. You got Book of Eli. I don't know how you felt about that movie.
Yeah.
I love The Equalizer. I love him in The Equalizer. And, of course, Magnificent Seven, you know, in American Gangster, he's completely ruthless in that.
Yeah.
And he's also ruthless in Training Day.
Right.
But another couple other actors, Gary Oldman, who just disappears and everything. We got him coming off of Churchill. But then when, you know, you go back to Sid and Nancy, and I loved him as Drexel the drug dealer. Drexel the Pimp.
In
True Romance.
Oh, True Romance. That's right. Yeah, God, he was good in that.
And there's Christian Bale.
Yeah.
I was sold on him in American Psycho when he did the scene with Jared Leto and he's explaining the whole thing about Huey Lewis.
Yeah. That's a great scene.
That's when I was sold.
Yeah.
There it is, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just amazing stuff.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Patrick.
All right, buddy. Take care.
See ya. Christian Bale, man. He's tremendous. That guy is tremendous. I mean, he's great in. I mean, I don't like the Dark Knight movies, but he's good in them.
And he's one of those guys, too, that, like, obviously, like, sells out for the role because it was The Machinist, I think, where he dropped down to, like, 90 pounds. And then he went and got all buff for...
Yeah, not the healthiest thing to
do. No, not at all. And then, you know, in the David O. Russell movie that I'm now thinking of with...
The Fighter.
So there was that, and then he got fat in... The other David O. Russell movie.
Oh, American Hustle.
American Hustle.
Yeah, that's right. He was fat and bald in that movie. Yeah, he lost all kinds of weight for The Fighter. Yeah. He was great in that movie, too. But I'll tell you what, man. You want to go back, go back. Go back and watch Empire of the Sun. Watch him as a kid. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Empire of the Sun?
I haven't.
Christian Bale is like 10 in it. And it really, I mean, it's an astonishing performance. He was just a little kid, you know? All right, let's see. Here's Beth on WGN. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi. Actually, I have a few things now after listening to you with some of the other callers. The first thing was with Denzel. Do you know the movie Deja Vu? I'm sure you do.
I do, yes.
I like that movie. I find it, it's interesting. It's, you know, twisty, and I've had to watch it a couple of times to really be able to follow it and to see what all happened. But I like it. It's different.
Yeah, it's a strange movie. Yeah.
It is, and I kind of like strange. Another thing I wanted to say was I think you were mentioning Tom Hanks at one point. Mm-hmm. Tom Hanks is great, but I would never believe him as a mean person. I just can't.
I'm trying to remember if he ever... played mean, like if he was ever
like a bad guy.
Yeah, well, I think if you want to count, it was a terrible movie, but the Coen Brothers remake of Lady Killers.
No, I didn't.
He's a nefarious kind of like criminal guy in that. But has he ever played? He's never played a heavy.
He never a heavy. He was in that Circle movie with. Emma. What's her name?
With Emma Watson. Yeah, so he was just in that.
And, mm-hmm. Wasn't Gene Hackman in The Birdcage?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was. Yes, he was in The Birdcage.
Yeah, I was starting to see.
That is such a fun movie.
Oh,
it's so
that
stupid,
movie is hilarious.
So
I love that movie. I love The Birdcage.
Yeah, I do too. That's a
funny movie. Okay, Beth, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
I forgot he was on The Tenenbaums, too.
Oh, Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite Gene Hackman performances. He's so good in that. He's really funny in that movie, too. That's my favorite Wes Anderson movie, I got to say. Royal Tenenbaums is my favorite. Do you have a favorite, Esmeralda?
Of?
Wes Anderson?
I did enjoy the Darjeeling Limited.
I love that movie, too.
Oh, and then the hotel one. That one was cute.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Ralph Fiennes is a riot in that movie. Everybody's funny in it, but Ralph Fiennes is hilarious in it. Have you seen the trailer for his new animated one?
I'm not sure. No.
Isle of Dogs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have, yeah.
Please. I mean, Fantastic Mr. Fox is a great movie. And if you look up Isle of Dogs, take a look at that of the voice cast of that movie. It's ridiculous. Like if you look at the actors that are involved providing voices to this movie, it's endless. Like if you look at the cast list and scroll down more, it's astonishing the amount of talent that he's got working in that movie. And the trailer is unbelievable. The trailer looks so good. You know who's also really good in Wes Anderson movie Wes Anderson movies is Edward Norton. As we mentioned.
Oh, yeah. He really loves working with him.
He does. And he's one of the voices in Isle of Dogs. But he was in Moonrise Kingdom as like the captain of the scouts. He's so good. He's fantastic in that movie. So, all right. Here's Ike in Country Club Hills. Hey, Ike.
Hey, Nick. How's it going with you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. This is a good one here. And this is, he even said this is his favorite performance. I definitely prefer this than Transformers. Frank Langella as Skeletor, Masters of the Universe.
Frank Langella.
Yeah, as Skeletor, Masters of the Universe. Yeah, as He-Man.
I don't remember, I remember seeing the movie, I just don't remember him in it. Frank Langella.
He's Skeletor.
He played Skeletor.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't remember. I just don't remember anything. I just remember not liking the movie. That's the only thing I remember.
I mean, it's a terrible movie.
But Frank Langella actually had kind of a resurgence, you know, because he played Nixon in Frost Nixon. I think he got nominated for that. And he hadn't made a movie in a long time. He was also in Richard Kelly's last movie, The Box, which that after they made that movie, they ran Richard Kelly out of town. Said, yeah, that's Southland Tales and The Box in a row. Sorry, bye. Nice guy, Richard Kelly. I met him last May when he was here in Chicago to host the 10-year anniversary screening of Southland Tales and do a Q&A afterwards. So Frank Langella. But he's a Frank Langella. You ever see Frank Langella as Dracula?
No.
No, he's good. He's good. Yeah, he's a good actor, Frank Langella. All right, Ike, thanks for the call. We got to take a break here. We got weather and we got traffic, and then we'll talk more. We got some other great actors here. The first one that pops into my mind, actress, really quickly, without question, Holly Hunter. I love her in everything that she does, and she can do anything. She can do comedy. She can do drama. I love Holly Hunter every time, and she's so good in The Big Sick. And I hope she doesn't get ignored and not get nominated for supporting actress for The Big Sick, because she's amazing in it. I love her. And as far as actors go, Jeff Bridges. I mean, that just goes without saying. He's my favorite actor, and I love him in everything. Even in a stupid Tron movie. I like him in Tron. That's how much I like him. He's made some stupid movies, though. You know that R.I.P.D. It was like, what the hell? Was it Ryan Reynolds?
It was.
What a terrible movie that was. And he was in that, I don't know, he played like a wizard in some movie a couple of years ago. He had a long beard. I don't know, but I love him. All right, we got to take a break. We got weather, we got traffic, and then more. And then Esmeralda and I are going to pay each other compliments and see if they sound good. Right, Esmeralda?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say it again. You're no good, you're no good.
Yeah.
You're no good. Baby, you're
yeah,
no
man.
Good.
Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That's Linda Ronstadt. Nick requested that. That's You're No Good. We are talking about great actors and actresses who are consistently great. And, you know, you can always count on them. When you see their name on the credits, you go, oh, yeah, this will be good. We got some people here this all started with an article that I was reading about the career of Denzel Washington. 219 area code says Bone Collector with Angelina Jolie. They both did an excellent job. 630 area code says The Mighty Quinn is a favorite for our family. Yeah, The Mighty Quinn's a good movie. That's a really good movie. Actors, Tom from Norwood Park says Edward Norton, John Malkovich, Jeremy Irons, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Robert De Niro. Here's the thing. De Niro... You know, and seriously, clearly one of the greatest actors that's ever lived. But there are a lot of movies that De Niro did that suck, and he clearly just coasted through them. Once he started making those Meet the Parent movies, and you know, like going into the comedy world, I don't know. It just seems like he coasted a ton of movies. If you want to see the worst Robert De Niro performance of all time. Like, laughably, like, horrible. Rent a movie called Godsend. Greg Kinnear. I can't remember who the female lead was. Dan, maybe you can look it up. And I believe Dakota Fanning is in it. He is so terrible in that movie. Like, ridiculously awful. That it's the, you know, and De Niro's been bad in a lot of movies. He truly has, you know.
Rebecca Romijn.
Rebecca, oh, God. Yeah, Godsend. I'm going to save Nick maybe year 2002, maybe? 2003? 2004. Awful movie. Daniel Day-Lewis. Has Daniel Day-Lewis ever been not great? I mean, seriously. Has he ever not been great? I mean, he's great in everything. Every single performance, he's amazing. I wasn't crazy about Nine, the musical that they did. I wasn't crazy about that, but that really wasn't his fault. He's remarkable in the new movie, in Phantom Thread. He's amazing. 773 area code says, Christian Bale seems to always make great movies. We were talking about Christian Bale. Absolutely. Jeff in San Diego says, Kurt Russell is an actor I always think of, and Breakdown rules. Breakdown does rule. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Breakdown?
I haven't.
Oh, man. Kurt Russell. Kathleen Quinlan, the great, the late, great J.T. Walsh.
Miracle is on over the course of the weekend. He's really good in that.
He's good coach. He's good in that. Tombstone, man.
Overboard.
You know they're doing a remake of Overboard?
I did see that. Anna Faris. They're switching. It's like
they're switching the genre, or the gender.
So the male, the attractive male, falls over the boat and gets brought home by Anna Faris.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a whole revenge thing.
Yeah, so was the original Overboard.
No, it was. He wanted to, like, keep her for his wife and mother.
Yeah, but she was a jerk to him, so it was, I mean, the reason why he did it in the first place is because she was a complete jerk to him. You know, Overboard, as funny as that movie is, it's a deeply disturbing plot.
Yeah.
Like, really, really, like, I'm going to kidnap this chick who has no memory.
And then lie to her.
She's gonna think that these are her kids and I'm her husband. I mean, it really isn't. It's just if you think about the plot of that movie. But because everybody in that movie is so damn charming and because there are laughs in it, you go, ha, that's terrible. 763 area code says, how about Gary Cooper? Gary Cooper, amazing. How about Cary Grant? Cary Grant, one of the greatest actors that ever lived, one of the biggest and greatest movie stars of all time. 815 area code. Tom Selleck? Tom Selleck? All right.
I mean, that's why he cast him in Friends as Monica's boyfriend.
Well, yeah. That, I mean, he, you know, that's his finest work. 312 area code. I love Gene Hackman in The Replacements. Excuse me. I got this cough. It's driving me nuts. 630 area code says, Keanu rules in anything he's ever done. I agree with that. Although I wouldn't trust him with a period piece or accents.
Was he in Dangerously Liaisons?
He was, in fact.
Oh, no.
He was bad in Dangerous Liaisons. He was also very bad in Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula. He was also in Much Ado About Nothing. These are not Keanu's strongest. That's not the area Keanu is strong in.
Did they not talk to him before these movies? We're like, do an accent for us.
Yeah.
Did they not hear that before?
Well, it's not like they were bad directors, too, because Much Ado About Nothing was Kenneth Branagh, so it wasn't like some novice. Dracula was Francis Ford Coppola. What was the other one? The Dangerous Liaisons. That was Stephen Frears. I mean, these are guys who, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just wanted Keanu to be good. They were rooting for Keanu. Because I root for Keanu. I love him.
Do you think they had anyone help him with the accent?
Well.
Oh, that poor teacher.
The dialect coach got fired. Never worked again after those movies. 262 area code. Two of my favorite actors, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Gary Oldman. I agree with that statement 1,000%. Philip Seymour Hoffman was one of the greatest actors that ever lived. And that's a guy, Esmeralda. He was great in everything. Great in everything. That one hurt when that guy died. Boy, oh boy. 815 area code says, Jessica Chastain is becoming one of the greats. She's so consistent. She plays vastly different characters, such as in The Help and now Molly's Game. Yeah, Chastain's good. Michael Keaton can be funny or dark. Agreed. Agreed. Mark says, Tom Hanks played an evil character in Road to Perdition. Oh, he did play a bad guy in Road to Perdition. Totally forgot about that movie. 630 area code says, if Eddie Redmayne is cast, I will watch any movie. Well, he provides the voice in Sherlock Gnomes. So he provides one of the voices.
What was that bad movie he almost lost the Oscar for, though, with the Wachowski brothers? Channing Tatum.
Something Rising.
Yeah, Jupiter Ascending.
Ah, there you go.
It's not a bad movie, by the way.
But they were all like, he might not get the Oscar.
Because of Jupiter Ascending. Yeah. I think that's when Mila Kunitz decided that she would sign with Jim Beam after that movie. So, all right. Hang on, everybody. We'll come back and we'll wrap this up, and then Esmeralda and I are going to pay compliments to each other that we're supposed to really like. So we'll see what happens. 312-981-7200. We'll wrap up the great actor and actress conversation after the news, which is next. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday, yeah. Get your request in, 312-981-7200. Squat requested Maynard Ferguson and Chameleon. Okay. We're going to wrap up the conversation here about the best and most consistent actresses and actors who are just solid every single time. You see their name on the name of a movie, and you're immediately, or the title of a movie, and you're immediately happy about that. So let's go to John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
So, yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that the two that I thought of that you cannot go without are Alan Rickman, God rest his soul.
Yeah.
And James Earl Jones.
Yeah, those are good ones. Those guys are always good. Always good.
You can't help but not want to watch their movies.
Yeah,
so.
Yep, absolutely true. Good choices. All right, John, thanks.
All right, thank you for having
me. Okay. Yeah, Alan Rickman, man. I mean, come on. Hans Gruber, Professor Snape, only good thing in the Robin Hood movie with Kevin Costner. He was great as the Sheriff of Nottingham. You know it's a great Alan Rickman movie? You ever see Truly, Madly, Deeply?
No.
It's a great romantic comedy. You don't think romantic comedy when you think Alan Rickman. Although he was in Love Actually, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. Truly, Madly, Deeply is that's early Alan Rickman. I think it might be just like a year after Die Hard. And he plays a guy who dies and his wife or his girlfriend, I can't remember who the actress was who played. He keeps her safe as a ghost, and it's a really lovely movie. And Rickman is great in it. And I can't remember who the female lead is.
Juliet Stevenson.
Is that who it is? Low budget movie, you know, under the radar British production, but Rickman's great in it. Great. And again, we were talking about Die Hard over the Christmas, you know, season because, you know, Die Hard is a great Christmas movie. And I just can't believe that was his first movie. That was Alan Rickman's first movie. Like, right out of the gate, he's Hans Gruber. That's a hell of a debut right there, man. We were talking about that first movies. And, of course, Esmeralda, you would go with Edward Norton on that one because Primal Fear. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some other suggestions for actors who are great. Meryl Streep goes without saying. Meryl Streep have been nominated 17 times for an Oscar, Esmeralda. 17. She's nominated 27 times at the Golden Globes. She's won 8. She's won 3 Oscars, more than any other actor or actress. And she'll be nominated again for The Post. I can almost guarantee you that. Another person says that Leonardo DiCaprio. I agree with that. I think Leonardo DiCaprio is a tremendous actor. I think he's great. I think he's always, always good. Even if it's not a great movie, again, you see DiCaprio's name on it, and you're like, okay, at least there'll be one good performance in it. Someone says Matthew McConaughey. Well, yeah, you know, over the past 6 years or so. But there was that time in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, where he was doing all those rom-coms, you know, with, like, and he made 2 movies with Kate Hudson, you know? But there's no, you know, there's no arguing now. I mean, McConaughey is amazing now. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, someone says. You don't like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right, Esmeralda?
I don't mind him.
Oh, okay. No, you don't like Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
Because they were both in the 500 Days of Summer. Somebody sent in Jackie Chan. All right. Jackie Chan. Morgan Freeman. Yeah, he makes a lot of bad movies, though. Morgan Freeman is a great actor.
He's in all those I'm Old and I Don't Care Anymore
movies. He just made an I'm Old and I Don't Care Anymore movies with Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
It came and went 2 weeks ago.
Was he in Road Dogs?
I don't know if he was in Road Dogs.
What is it?
Or Old Dogs.
There's Old Dogs, Road
Old
Dogs.
What was the one with Old Hogs?
Oh, Old
Hogs. Is that right? Because they were motorcycle. They were riding around. You know, Tobolowsky's in that.
It was like Martin Lawrence.
It was Martin Lawrence. It was Tim Allen.
Wild Hogs.
Wild Hogs. Travolta, right? Travolta's
correct.
In that?
Yes. And William H. Macy.
God.
That's a horrible movie. And then there was Old Dogs or something. And that, I believe, was Robin Williams. Billy Crystal. Old Dogs? Am I thinking of something else?
Robin Williams and John Travolta.
Travolta's in that one, too.
Yeah, I don't understand the rash of these, like, I'm an old dude and I don't care about anything.
Well,
I'm going to do what I want.
It's funny. I mean, Zach Braff remade Going in Style. Oh, Morgan Freeman's in that. Where the old guys rob a bank. It was Morgan Freeman. Yeah. Alan Arkin, who the hell was the third dude?
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. That was it. Now, the original is a really good movie. Lee Strasberg, Art Carney, George Burns. Really, really wonderful movie, Going in Style. I have no idea why, of all people, Zach Braff would direct that movie.
Last Vegas.
Oh, terrible movie.
Again, another like, we're old and we're just going to do stuff.
I'm an old dude. Let's rob a casino. That's Michael Douglas, right? Last Vegas?
Yes.
Is Morgan Freeman in that one, too?
Yeah.
He is.
It's Robert De Niro, Michael Douglas,
right.
Kevin Klein.
God almighty.
Morgan Freeman.
No, you were right, Esmeralda. Yeah. Apparently, your go-to guy for talking about penguins or being an old dude who doesn't care is Morgan Freeman.
He was in that Red movie.
Red, which is old people.
Yeah, it's another like...
Helen Mirren.
We're old and...
Yeah, we're old, but we'll still shoot you.
Yeah, we still got it.
Helen Mirren was in that. Bruce Willis, right?
Yes.
Bruce Willie as and Malkovich is in that one, too. Those are terrible movies. Both of those Red movies are terrible. All right, here's Tracy on WGN, then we'll wrap it up.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was thinking about J.K. Simmons. I love him.
Yeah.
And anything he does. And Richard Jenkins.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to see Richard Jenkins, you know, getting... Because he's been around for a long time. Richard Jenkins has been around for a long time. And when The Visitor came out, when he finally got recognized, like, as a Best Actor nomination...
Right.
It finally, people are starting to notice him. He's in The Shape of Water, and he's probably going to get nominated for Supporting Actor for that. He's a great actor. He's a great... Have you ever seen Flirting with Disaster, Tracy?
Yes, I love that movie.
Oh, my God. When he's on acid running around in his underwear in the desert? Oh, my God. That movie rules.
That's one of my favorite movies. That's a terrific movie.
It's a great film. J.K. Simmons is great, too. You know, he's got a TV series starting on Starz next month.
Oh, he does? I didn't know that.
It's called Counterparts.
Really?
Yeah, and there are two J.K. Simmons. Like, there's a clone of J.K. Simmons. So you get two J.K. Simmons for the price of one.
That's great.
Yeah. It's on Starz.
Did you see him with Susan Sarandon in that movie when she played a widow and she had to go out to Los Angeles, I think, to visit her daughter? I forget the name of the movie, but that was really good, too.
I'll have to look that one up. And, of course, Whiplash. That goes without saying.
Yes, definitely.
So. All right, Tracy, thanks. Have a good morning.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, let me finish off with our final texts here, and then Esmeralda and I are going to pay compliments to each other. We do that all the time anyway, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
Of course. 905 area code says Richard Attenborough. Yeah, he was an actor before he became a director. Made a lot of movies. 872 says Tom Mix probably made more movies than anybody, helped John Wayne get work, and carried Wyatt Earp's casket. Tom Mix. 814. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a really good one, and I can't believe he didn't get mentioned. Robert Duvall. Bobby D. I get to call him Bobby D. Robert Duvall, always good. Loved him in Open Range. And 847 area code said you can also put Tyrone Power, James Cagney, and Robert Mitchum into that mix as well. All right. Okay. So there you go. All right, now we're going to take a little break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we are going to talk about, here's the actual headline of the piece. 20 compliments women can't resist. And I'm going to give those compliments to Esmeralda and see if she can resist them. And then, Esmeralda, you have 20 compliments men can't resist.
Yes.
And we'll see how accurate these things are. We'll settle the score, Esmeralda. It'll be truth when we're done.
Yeah.
That's right.
Finally.
That's right.